stated last week, this week begins this period of reflections on the Bread of Life discourse. These 5 weeks that we have the sixth chapter of John. The readings during this week will take a look at the Eucharist and what it is from a variety of points of view. The Old Testament readings are mostly a collection of miraculous feedings, showing how much God wants to care for our physical needs. The Gospels take that foundation on the physical level and build it into a supernatural level. And the epistles all come from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians, where Paul instructs us on how to live in unity, one faith, one baptism, and how they and us today are called to put away the former ways of life, to walk in God's love, to live a relationship that we have with God amongst each other. Today we look at God's promise to His people, how it was partially fulfilled in the Old Testament and more completely fulfilled in Christ. But there's also that promise of that complete fulfillment that will come when Christ returns. These reflections begin with the story of Elisha that we had today. This man brings 20 barley loaves, the very best, the first fruits, and he brings them and he lays them before Elisha. But Elisha's got over 100 men to serve and to feed. And so he says, place it in front of them. And the servant sees that this is not going to work. It's not going to turn out well for him because they're not going to be satisfied. And so he brings this up to Elisha. And Elisha says, they shall eat and there shall be some left over. This sets the stage for our gospel. I think it is one that is very familiar to every one of us because this reading or this event is something that is recorded in every one of the gospels. This multiplication of the loaves and the fishes. This one today comes from the Gospel of John. A large crowd is following Jesus. They've been witnessing all that He's been doing, how He's been curing all of the people. John also tells us that this is a time of Passover, something that seemingly is a disconnect, but we will see where it connects down the road. Jesus sits with His disciples. He sees the crowd. And He asks Philip, where can we get enough food for all of these people? And John tells us that He is testing His disciples. And Philip fails the test because he doesn't look to where they can get the food. He says, how can we get the food? Even if we had the food supply, we don't have enough money. Andrew comes a little bit closer. He maybe has been reminded of one of these stories from the Old Testament. They would have known them well. The story of Elisha or other similar story. There's a boy here with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. But he looks at the crowd and says, but what good is that for so many? He might have thought that, you know, maybe there might be an outside chance Jesus could do something with what he had. But Jesus knows full well his plan. And so he has the people recline on the grass. This term that is used, recline, is the very same term as used at the Last Supper, when Jesus and his disciples recline at table. Both of these are setting the stage for this miraculous event that is coming. And Jesus takes the fish and the bread, and what does he do with them? He gives thanks. He offers the Eucharist, Eucharistia, thanksgiving in Greek. And then he gives it to the people. And after everyone has eaten, he sends his disciples to go and to gather up all the fragments, and they fill 12 baskets, showing God's superabundance in providing for all of our needs. Shows how Jesus is the fulfillment of all of the prophecies of the old. The 5 loaves would have reminded all of the people who were walking with Jesus of the 5 books of the Pentateuch of Moses. Jesus is the new Moses. Moses had come to lead them out of slavery to the Egyptians. Jesus comes to lead us out of slavery to sin. Moses is the one who brings them manna in the desert. Jesus comes to bring us himself in the Eucharist. We see the significance of the 2 fish, the Old Testament coming to a completion in Christ, and the New Testament that we are still living today. The 12 baskets, the 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 patriarchs, the 12 apostles. All of this is a partial fulfillment of God's promise. For thus says the Lord, they shall eat and there shall be some left over. And Christ is showing us that He is greater than all of these things that have happened before. It is a new beginning from the very hand of God. He has come really as a human restoration project from God. Adam and Eve had been living in this perfect relationship in the Garden of Eden, but they lost it. When they sinned, they were removed from the garden. But God desires to restore what is lost. This restoration project is known as salvation history. And in salvation history, we see that there are milestones. Milestones such as Elijah feeding his disciples with the 20 barley loaves. Other events. There are also negative milestones that we can look at from retrospect. As we're going through these things, whether they're positive blessings or negative chastisements, we don't see them for what they are until we can have time and look back. But there was this central point of creation when Christ has come, fulfilling God's promise, but not completely. It will only be completely fulfilled when Christ returns a second time. We will then enjoy His presence at the heavenly banquet. But until then, as we are walking in this world, there's work to be done. And St. Paul helps us to know what that work is. He looks at things from this side of the resurrection. He knows what Christ has done in the Last Supper. And he spells out how we are to live in that love. How we are to live today. I urge you to live in a way that is worthy of the call you have received. Sons and daughters of God, preserve the unity of the Holy Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, one spirit, one hope, one faith, one baptism, one God. This is the unity of the Holy Trinity. And we are made in His image and in His likeness. Be aware of the call you have received. Being sons and daughters of God is a call that goes way beyond anything else in our lives, and to live our lives in a worthy manner of that call, in generosity and self-sacrifice, not in selfishness and self-serving, in humility, in gentleness, and in patience. We cannot do this on our own, only when strengthened and nourished by the proper food. The bread that we eat feeds not the body, but the soul. And it is the bread of life, the fullness of life, the life of Christ. Fulfilling God's promise to us in this life as we await for it to be filled in eternity in its fullness, where God will gather us together into one at His banquet.